إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد, I want to remind you and myself about the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where he said that a time will come on this ummah when people will invite each other to take and eat from this ummah like people invite each other to eat from a plate of food. And the Sahaba asked the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they said, is it because we will be very small in number? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you will not be small in number, you will be very large in number, but you will be like the foam on the flood. No weight, no significance. And people will invite each other to come and tear you apart. And the Sahaba asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they said, what will be the reason for this? And he said, Wahan. And they asked him, what is the meaning of Wahan? And he said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Hubbu dunya wa karahiyatul maut. The love of dunya and the hatred of death, dislike for death. I want to remind you and myself that various times have passed on this ummah where the truthfulness of this hadith has manifested itself. And Allah knows best, maybe we are today also at such a time. The time that we are facing today is not the first time. This has happened before. Much worse has happened before, as a matter of fact. So, there is no need to feel discouraged. But at the same time, one has to think about how to deal with this. And therefore, I have included this in the list of sicknesses of the heart and its cure. Because this is one of the major sicknesses of the heart. Hubbu dunya wa karahiyatul maut. What is hubbu dunya? It is love for this dunya. And if you look even at the language that we use, we talk about a dream car, we talk about a dream home, we talk about a dream job, and we forget that a dream, what you see in a dream, when you wake up, it's not there. The language itself should alert us to what we are aiming for. If you see something in a dream and you wake up, it's not there. So, that is exactly what will happen when we wake up from this dream, which is called this life. And the waking up of this dream, the waking up from this dream, is when we die. Death is not extinguishing of life. Death is waking up from life. It is when the curtain will be lifted from the eyes. And then we will realize that all that we were seeing was a dream. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this, where He said, إِنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. So, this is a dream. This is something that we, that is imaginary. This is something that we have created for ourselves in our minds. Take all the definitions that we have. Take our definition for wealth, for example, or take our definition for influence, definition for fame. All of these definitions are perishable. They are all definitions which are temporary. They are all definitions which do not exist except in our imagination. Except in our imagination. So, what is the point of living life like this? So, we need to wake up. This hubbu dunya is also the cause for a very painful death. Because at the time of dying, the greatest pain will be the pain of leaving behind something which you loved. As I mentioned before, one of the khulafa of Bani Umayyah, he went to for Umrah. Allah Alam, I think it was Khalifa Sulaiman, but whoever it was, he went for Umrah and he asked if any of the Tabi'in were in Makkah. And somebody said yes, and he went to meet this Wali of Allah and he asked him, he said, why is it that we hate death? Talking about karahiyatul maut, he asked him, why is it that I dislike death and why is it that we dislike death? And this person said to him, He said, why is this, even this question in your mind? He said, naturally, there is one place which you have decorated and made beautiful and you have built your palace in it and so on. And there's another place which you have left desolate and barren. So naturally, if you are going to leave a place which you have decorated and which you have made beautiful, and if you have to go to a place which is barren and desolate, naturally you will dislike it. And he said, that is the nature of this life and the life of the hereafter. He said, all your effort and all this mehnat and all this energy is being spent in decorating something that you know you have to leave. There is nobody on the face of the earth, no Muslim, no Hindu, no Christian, no Sikh, no Buddhist, no atheist, no agnostic, no anything, who denies that he or she has to leave this life. Who denies that when they die, not even a rusted nail will go with them from here. Not even a piece of cloth will go from here. Not even a piece of tissue paper will go from here. Nothing will go from here. People can deny Allah, they can deny everything, but nobody denies death and nobody denies the fact that you do not take anything with you. Yet, all our energy is on building and decorating something which we know we have to leave behind. And as Muslims, since we have this belief that there is a life hereafter, since we have this belief that our actions in this dunya will affect that life of the hereafter, then we have to ask ourselves this question and say, what am I creating in the hereafter? Just like when I always give the example of the Middle East, because it's a very good example, where you can live in Saudi Arabia or you can live in any of the Middle Eastern countries for decades, but they will not give you citizenship. They will not allow you to buy property there. So, you continuously send your money back home because you know one day I have to leave this. So, in that country, anybody with any sense will live comfortably, but he will obviously not, you can't buy property, but you can rent a palace if you want, right? And you can live in a palace, but how many people do you know, expats, who are actually spending their own money to live in a palace? Nobody. Like, people have good sense. This is no sense in putting out so much of money in rents, which is just money out of pocket, and we are getting nothing for it. I can't buy this place. So therefore, what's the point in, I will live comfortably. I'm not going to live in a hut, but I'm certainly not going to live in a huge palace or in a huge big villa, where I have got 50 rooms and I'm using only one room. No. Right? So you send your money home, and when you send your money home, what do you do with that money? You don't just send it and tell the people, just spend it, you know, just throw it away. No. You send the money home, you say, no, let us buy a land. So when you come on vacation, you go look for land, and then you say, okay, let's build a house on this one, or let's buy some shops, or let's buy some apartments. So when I come back, there is a, recurring income, and so on. So there is a plan for the place where you are going to go. And you keep track of this plan. It's not just a, plan in your mind. You keep track of this plan. When you go on the vacations, you ensure that this plan is being implemented. Huh? We do all of this. So what about this place which we are absolutely certain about going to, which is the Akhirah? What is our plan for this Akhirah? Who is tracking this plan? If I ask myself in the last 1 month, how much did I spend for my Akhirah? Do I have a number? Do I have a figure? If I have a figure, how does that figure compare with what I spent in the dunya? It's two issues, right? You might say, yes, I spent. Last month I gave 1,000 rupees in sadaqah. Very nice, right? So 1,000 rupees you gave in sadaqah. And in this dunya, you spent 5,000 rupees on dog food. Huh? I mean, you spend 50,000 rupees on gasoline for your gas guzzler, four-wheel drive or whatever it was, right? So, where is the compassion? Sure, you spend 1,000 rupees, inshallah you will get the reward for 1,000 rupees. But my point is that if you really are serious, and that's why I gave you the example of the Middle East, you will find invariably, I have yet to find anyone who is living in the Middle East who spends more money in that country than he sends back home. I have yet to find, at least I don't know anyone who does that. And if someone is doing that, then he's very stupid, because you know, he's not going to get that back. What he's spending in that country is gone. Anyone with any sense always sends more money home than they spend in that country. What about us in our akhirah? How much do we send home and how much are we spending in this country? By this country, I mean this life, which we have to leave behind. So, hubbud dunya, we love something which we are absolutely certain will be taken away from us. And we do not prepare for a place where we are absolutely certain to go. May Allah give us good sense, and may Allah open our eyes, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to do that which is essential before it is too late. Because the googly in this thing is that when the time comes, it comes, and that comes without warning. At least the man in the Middle East has a retirement date. All going well, if he doesn't get sacked, then he has a retirement date. I'm going to retire in year so and so, which is 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, 20 years down the road. But our expiry date, we don't know. We came with that expiry date stamped on our foreheads, except that we can't see it. So when it comes, there is no stopping it. And we don't know when it will come. And that's why it is very, very essential for us, and I remind myself, to prepare for that time, before that time comes, and to invest in the akhirah. And invest in the akhirah in a systematic manner, which we track this investment. And we say, how much money did I put away for my akhirah? How much effort did I make for the akhirah? It's not only money. It is money, it is time, it is energy, it is effort, and so on and so on. Whatever Allah has given us. How much did I put away in my akhirah? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it so simple. A smile is sadaqah. But for us, even that is a problematic thing. Someone has to beg you, please smile. Who cares? Don't smile. Go around your whole life like you are in a funeral. Who cares? Deen has been made easy, but we want to make it difficult for ourselves. So let us wake up before we are woken up. Because the day will come when we will be woken up. Yeah, no doubt about this. And let us plan for our future. Let us not invest in that which we have to leave behind. Spend only as much as necessary here. Live comfortably, alhamdulillah. But don't go beyond that. And spend all of the rest in building a place where, inshallah, we will be forever. That is the key. The key is in the action. I was seeing one of my favorite speakers yesterday, Leslie Hazelton, who speaks wonderfully about the Quran, and she speaks wonderfully about Rasulullah and so on. And if you listen to her speech, apart from the fact that she is a brilliant speaker, is the way she talks about the Quran. With so much of conviction, and yet she is not a Muslim. I just simply cannot understand how someone can speak with so much conviction. In the speech I heard yesterday, she says, the Quran begs to be heard, to be chanted, and only then it goes into the heart. It's not a book to be read, it's a book to be heard. Ajeeb, I mean, imagine, this is so true, this is so absolutely true. But the one saying this with such conviction is not a Muslim. Ajeeb. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give her hidayah, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ensure that she dies in a state of iman in Islam. But my point I'm making is that in many ways, may Allah forgive us, we are like this. We say things, but that thing has to be visible in our actions. If we say something, if we talk about the akhirah, and we find in our own life that there is no focus on the akhirah, then we are like this, Allah alam. We are like this. And please let us understand, just because I have a Muslim name, is no guarantee for anything. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has to count me as a Muslim. Just because I was born in a Muslim home, or just because I have a Muslim name, or my father was a Muslim, this means nothing. This means nothing. The father of the son of Nuh alayhi salam was not only a Muslim, he was a Nabi. And he was a Nabi among the Ulul Azam min al-Anbiya. But the son still went into Jahannam. So these relationships have no meaning with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is each person, his or her own individual action. And it's action, it's not talking about something. It's acting on that thing. That is the only thing which will make a difference. And that's why I remind myself and you, let us focus on building our akhirah. We don't know how much time we have left. Ramadan is literally 1 month away. And Allah alam, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of you this Ramadan, inshaAllah. But we don't have no guarantee. We have no guarantee that even this Ramadan, whether we will get. So let us prepare from now and ensure that we build this place where we are, inshallah, going to go and stay forever. And not focus on this dunya, which we have to leave anyway. Focus on this dunya with a perspective of building the akhirah. That's the way to focus on the dunya. Not leave the dunya. I'm not talking about leaving the dunya. Leaving the dunya is foolishness. Where is the question of leaving? Allah did not send us into this dunya to leave it. Allah sent us into this dunya to use it. Not to fall in love with it. To use it. Right? If you buy a pair of trainers, if you buy a pair of shoes, we buy a beautiful pair of trainers. Right? Nike Air or whatever. It costs you a good amount of money as well. Why? And then you buy this beautiful pair of trainers, and then you take it in your drawing room, you put it on the showcase, and every morning you take it down, you polish these trainers and you put it on the showcase. What do you say to that person? You're crazy, you're a nutcase. You bought the shoes to put it in the showcase? Why did you buy the shoes? For what? To build your health. By using those trainers, put those trainers on your feet and hit the road. Yes or no? That is what the dunya is, a pair of trainers. The dunya is not to be left behind. The dunya is not to leave it. The dunya is not to fall in love with it. Both are wrong. To fall in love with the trainers and to carry them on your head is stupid. To throw away the trainers is also stupid. The shoes are meant to be used. Put them on your feet and hit the road. Why? So that you build your health. The trainers are to build the health. The dunya is to build the akhirah. We don't leave the dunya. We don't fall in love with the dunya. We use the dunya in order to build the akhirah. So both of these things we should be aware of and not fall into that trap. But use the dunya in order to build the akhirah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make that easy for us and to enable us to do that and to be pleased with us. And accept it and put barakah in our effort, so that the effort may be small, but we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward it in keeping with His majesty and grace. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika.